We possess the prophetic message that is altogether reliable. You will do well to be attentive to it, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. These words of St. Peter in his second letter is describing what he saw on Mount Tabor with James and John when God pointed out Jesus as the one with whom he was well pleased. And this prophetic message, which we should be attentive to as the dawn of contemplation, until, as Peter says, the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts, this prophetic message is also the eyewitness testimony of these three apostles who saw Jesus transfigured before them. Not cleverly devised myths or philosophy, but the incarnate Son of God transfigured before them. And this prophetic message, which we gaze upon ourselves in this sacred liturgy with unveiled faces, is the mystery of the cross. The fathers of the church, of course, interpret the mystery of the transfiguration and the reason for our Lord's revelation in this fashion to his apostles as a preparation for his suffering and death, a preparation that would bolster, which was intended to bolster them against the scandal of the cross. And so for a moment on the mountain, Jesus was transfigured before them, and they were able to see the glory that was proper to his divinized humanity. In fact, Thomas Aquinas says that the miracle was not so much that he was transfigured before them, but that he wasn't always that way. They were able to see him as he was for that moment. And this was to allow them to see him as he truly was, so that when he would suffer and die on the cross, they wouldn't forget this mystery that they had witnessed, and that they would be strengthened against the scandal. Although, of course, as we know, many were scandalized in spite of this. St. Luke, in a particular way, refers to the presence of Moses and Elijah as having a conversation with our Lord about his exodus, it's translated here, that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. And this refers to the Passion itself. So Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, the prophets, are there conversing with our Lord about the fulfillment of the whole law and the prophets in this exodus or this passing or departure from this world to the Father. This passing, which we would accomplish also in him from the life of sin, Egypt, to the life of grace, the promised land. Interestingly, the Latin translation of Exodus in this passage is excessum, and in the medievals who will look at these passages in a spiritual way refer to this as ecstasy. And the images of the gospel today show us that our Lord is appropriating the imagery of Mount Sinai. If you go to the Holy Land and see Mount Tabor, you know, there are many mountains in the Holy Land that we refer to in the Gospel, like the Mount of Beatitudes or Mount Calvary, which are really just little hills. But Tabor is an actual mountain that is very steep on all four sides and comes to quite a peak. It's quite frightening to drive, to be driven up in a bus up and down Mount Tabor. But it's a real mountain, and it's a real ascent. Our Lord took them up this mountain and entered into the cloud and was transfigured before them as a fulfillment of what is what we read about in the events on Mount Sinai, where Moses enters into the cloud, and it becomes appropriated by the fathers of the church, this kind of imagery, as the life of contemplation, which is something for us to think about, because that was what our Lord was trying to impress upon the apostles, as he was also trying to remove the scandal or prevent the scandal of the cross. And in fact, Peter is in ecstasy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He wants to stay there forever and build a tent for Moses, Elijah, and our Lord. And Luke and the evangelist tell us that he didn't know what he was saying. He was drunk with the presence of Christ's glorified humanity. And it's in the face of this that we are to enter into the mystery of the cross, the mystery of Christ Jesus. For St. Bonaventure, in a particular way, the entering into contemplation, into the silence that only God can give us, is in fact an entering into the mystery of the cross. There's only one way to the top of the mountain, and that's by carrying the cross with Christ and being crucified with him on the top of the mountain. And so if there's a kind of parallel between Tabor and Sinai, there's also a parallel between Tabor and Calvary. If you transferred all this imagery to Good Friday, it would be in a way the same thing, except that we don't see Jesus on the cross as being glorified. But in fact, the mystery of the cross, our Lord's being lifted up from the earth, is in fact his glorification, completed and made perfect on Easter Sunday with his resurrection. But the cross is our Lord's glorification, and we need to see it in that fashion, which is what we try to do every day when we come to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and celebrate these sacred mysteries, read the scriptures, meditate upon them, and enter into the sacramental signs, and most especially into the transfigured presence of Jesus on the altar in the Eucharist. And so as we continue in this Holy Sacrifice on this great feast of the Transfiguration, we pray for the grace to see our own lives in the mystery of Christ's cross, and to realize that the more we enter into these mysteries with our own trials and tribulations and sadness and illnesses, the more that we enter into these mysteries with Jesus, the more we come closer to him and experience his glory. The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, in the end, is our Mount Tabor, and the Eucharist itself is our Transfiguration. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Fructum ventris tui.